In my dark, I hear her rubber heels hit the tile and the stuff in her wicker bag clash with the jar of her walking as she passes me in the hall. She walks stiff. When I open my eyes, she's down the hall about to turn into the glass nurse's station, where she'll spend the day sitting at her desk and looking out her window and making notes on what goes on out in front of her in the day room during the next 8 hours. Her face looks pleased and peaceful with the thought. Then she sights those black boys. They're still down there together, mumbling to one another. They didn't hear her come on the ward. They sense she's glaring at them now, but it's too late. They should have knew better than to group up and mumble together when she was due on the ward. Their faces bob apart, confused. She goes into a crouch and advances on where they're trapped in a huddle at the end of the corridor. She knows what they've been saying. I can see she's furious, clean out of control. She's going to tear the black bastards limb from limb, she's so furious. She's swelling up, swells till her back's splitting out the white uniform, and she's let her arms section out long enough to wrap around the three of them 5-6 times. She looks around her with a swivel of her huge head. Nobody up to see, just old Broom Bromden, the half-breed Indian back there hiding behind his mop and can't talk to call for help. So she really lets herself go, and her painted smile twists, stretches to an open snarl, and she blows up bigger and bigger, big as a tractor, so big I can smell the machinery inside the way you smell a motor pulling too big a load. I hold my breath and figure, my God, this time they're going to do it. This time, they let the hate build up too high and overloaded, and they're going to tear one another to pieces before they realize what they're doing. But just as she starts crooking those sectioned arms around the black boys and they go to ripping at her underside with the mop handles, all the patients start coming out of the dorms to check on what's the hullabaloo, and she has to change back before she's caught in the shape of her hideous real self. By the time the patients get their eyes rubbed to where they can halfway see what the racket's about, all they see is the head nurse, smiling and calm and cold as usual, telling the black boys they best not stand in a group gossiping when it is Monday morning and there is such a lot to get done on the first morning of the week. Mean old Monday morning, you know, boys. Yeah, Miss Ratched. And we have quite a number of appointments this morning, so perhaps if you're standing here in a group talking isn't too urgent. Yeah, Miss Ratched. She stops and nods at some of the patients come to stand around and stare out of eyes all red and puffy with sleep. She nods once to each. Precise, automatic gesture. Her face is smooth, calculated, and precision-made, like an expensive baby doll. Skin like flesh-colored enamel, blend of white and cream and baby blue eyes, small nose, pink little nostrils. Everything working together except the color on her lips and fingernails and the size of her bosom. A mistake was made somehow in manufacturing, putting those big womanly breasts on what would have otherwise been a perfect work, and you can see how bitter she is about it. The men are still standing and waiting to see what she was onto the black boys about, so she remembers seeing me and says, "And since it is Monday, boys, why don't we get a good head start on the week by shaving poor Mr. Bromden first this morning, before the after-breakfast rush on the shaving room, and see if we can't avoid some of the, disturbance he tends to cause, don't you think?" Before anybody can turn to look for me, I duck back in the mop closet, jerk the door shut dark after me, hold my breath.